the Strengthcast, episode 36. This is Remastered. We will be talking about remastered video games during this podcast. I'm Samson Lancaster, and this podcast is brought to you by strengthandgaming.com. And as usual, I'm joined by Salvador Madrigal.
No, no, Mr. Superman, no, is here.
And Mo. Huh? He is back once again.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know I was here the whole time.
For this episode. And we are welcoming Bubba back.
Yay. Oh, my God. That cat's taking a shit.
Oh, no. Nerval. Why?
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Oh, no. That's your welcome back.
Welcome back. So I feel really welcome. I always feel welcome here.
We'll say this here. When I'll come back.
Yeah, so there's that.
I think it was just pee. I think we're okay.
Oh, all right.
Well, goddamn. Okay.
Good on you, Nermal. So, hey, everybody.
So, quick rundown. We're going to start off with the gaming news. Some big news happening with some Nintendo stuff going on and various other things. Some remastered stuff in the news. Then we'll have our latest games. And again, our topic, we'll come back with talk about remastered games and have our opinion on the latest in that realm. And Bubba has a mystery trailer.
I do.
So,
I seemed unsure of that, but
okay. Sal, there's some big news.
Ron Burgundy,
there's some big news.
Oh, yeah, dude, I just read it on fucking Polygon, dude. They're pushing back the Zelda Wii U game to maybe next fucking year.
Oh,
are you
God.
Serious?
2016?
Yeah, it said beyond. It was delayed beyond 2015, so next year maybe. Maybe next year. Wow. Maybe the year after.
Maybe it'll just end up on a whole different Nintendo console at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're doing it. I don't know. Yeah, also, Nintendo announced that they're working on another console. Codename yeah. NX.
Yes.
Or Next. I don't know.
Do we have anybody have any thoughts on Nintendo anymore?
Yeah.
I do love Nintendo. I just love them because of the history that the company has. The, of course, you know, for you guys, probably the NES was maybe the first.
Shit, Bubba remembers when they were just playing cards.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember that, but I do remember when, you know, a pre-Nintendo era, like a pre-video game crash era, when we were talking about, you had the Atari 2600, the Magnavox Odyssey 2, and the ColecoVision. And a television. That was about it. But once Nintendo came on the scene in like 1985,
I think.
Yeah. They were a powerhouse. So, I mean, anything from those early days, I guess that's what they have going for them today, right? Is Nintendo all
they're
really,
resting on their laurels.
All they really have.
On their history.
All they really have factor. Is the nostalgia factor and what they have in their back library, i.e. Mario and Zelda.
Yeah, I was so gonna buy it, the Zelda bundle edition if they come out with one, but now I don't know, man. That Xenoblade Saga game's gonna be coming out soon, and if they have a bundle of that, I'll probably buy it.
But you have a Wii U?
I want to get one.
He's trying to justify getting one.
Especially justify what games would need to come out for Sal to buy a Wii U.
Exactly.
Especially at this point in the system's life.
So like Mo would need Dead or Alive 5.
Yeah, because everybody at work is trying to convince me. Well, you got Smash Brothers and you got Mario Kart. Are you still playing Smash Brothers? Yeah, I play it every once in a while, maybe once a month.
That's what happened.
Exactly, asshole. Do you play Mario Kart? I play it maybe like every 3 months or so. Exactly. I'll be done with this game within a week, dude. I'll be bored of it. Just like most fighting games, most racing games.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Buy Bayonetta 2?
No, that's not a game that would make me want to buy that console.
No. No, not at all.
It was supposedly good. I had the first one. So. But I'm just waiting on that to end up being multiplayer.
Yeah, if I already had the console, I'd probably buy Bayonetta. But it's not a game that would make me want to buy the console just to play that game.
Right. You wouldn't buy a Wii U just to play Devil's Third, for example.
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah, the original Wii, I ended up pretty much only having Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, so I don't really want to make that same mistake.
Mo, you would probably really like Devil's Third, wouldn't you? I mean, there's a lot of big boobs in that game. I know that's right up your alley.
I'm surprised I haven't heard of that. That's just
the first time I'm... It's kind of like a...
Itagaki's latest game.
It's like Tenchi...
Well, I know who that is.
Yeah, the Ninja Gaiden slash...
Perf Supreme,
beach volleyball,
Dead or Alive, and sexual harassment lawsuits. Yeah. Another one of his specialties.
He's pretty gross. Yeah, he is.
So yeah, that is right up my alley.
There you go. Now you bought a Wii U. Just for that. But yeah, and then, fuck, this is kind of bumming me out though. Kojima left.
Yeah, that's a drag. Yeah, so stuff is coming out in a really weird fashion about Kojima leaving Konami, and
where the hell is he going? Is he gonna go do his own?
He's gonna go do his own thing.
Well, yeah, for now they don't really know. Nobody really knows for now, but you know, on the webpage for Phantom Limb, which is the next. A Metal Gear Solid game, it used to say,
did you say Phantom Limb? I'm gonna back that up.
I'm sorry, Phantom Pain. Sorry, I had Venture Brothers on my mind. Phantom Pain.
It's the paraplegic.
They refer to Phantom Pain as a Hideo Kojima joint. On the webpage, they pulled his name off of the title. So people were making a big deal about it. In fact, so many people were asking Konami about it that apparently they had to tweet out that, yes, Kojima will be leaving Konami in December. So with him gone, where does that put Phantom Pain? And... Where does that put the Silent Hills? We were all excited. I think we talked about earlier on the podcast PT PS4 and what a great trailer it was for potentially the next Silent Hill game, which was supposed to be a collaboration between Kojima and
Del Toro, right?
And Guillermo del Toro, yes.
Which, yeah, that sounds amazing, that idea.
With Norman Reedus of The Walking Dead
in it. The trailer, that was
acting awesome. In it, and Kojima directing it, and Guillermo del Toro producing it, whatever he's doing with it.
Making it freaky and twisted.
Yeah, it seems like too good to be true, and with Kojima walking out on Konami, it probably is too good to be true. Doesn't look like he will have any involvement in that at all. So what?
I don't understand how.
That's disappointing.
I mean, when you think of Konami, you think of this, of Hideo Kojima, dude. Him not being there, I wonder how it's gonna affect the company as a whole. If people start, because I mean, Konami nowadays they're not known for having really good games. And when you think of Konami, you think of Metal Gear and Hideo Kojima.
Yeah,
there's not really too many games you think of.
Deduce Castlevania.
What's the latest Castlevania, Mo?
One of those crappy 3D ones.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody really not recognizes.
They came out with a almost like a God of War clone in their Castlevania games. It was a huge dud. You have to go back a good 6 or 7 years.
Not even that. Just go to the handhelds.
The original DS Castlevania games were okay, but there haven't been a lot of real good Castlevania games. And what else does Konami have? They have the health spas and things like that in Japan, because, you know, in Japan, it's like a, all these companies have to diversify, so you have Konami's doing, like, gyms and, you know, health spas and nonsense like that. I'm sure, I guess they're making money on that. But games like, you know, Metal Gear was pretty much the last big franchise that they had. I mean,
They're not making
Sal, can you think of any other ones besides besides Metal Gear that they own?
Say Mega Man, Mega Man's Capcom.
Yeah. Is it Mega?
Yeah, Mega Man's Capcom. Yeah.
Who's Konami put out? The Castlevania.
Konami owns the rights to Castlevania, which, as we said, is in kind of
garbage. Didn't they do the Contra game?
Double Dribble. Yeah, Contra. Yeah. I mean, they could. I guess they could always come up with another Contra game, but.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have they tried to capture that kind of game from the 80s and just have failed?
That's happened a lot, yeah.
Yeah,
Dance Dance Revolution.
they did Dance Dance Revolution. They continue to pimp out Frogger. Good on them for that. For them knowing that...
remake.
So you know, many remakes. They can remake Frogger and turn it into whatever they need to generate a few bucks. But, I mean, by and large, Kojima is Konami.
Yeah, you know? That's it. Metal Gear is the only thing, when you think of Konami nowadays, you don't think of all the other games. You've already forgot that there's the Lords of Shadow 2, which is the latest Castlevania game, because it's that forgettable.
Yeah, and I guess to put it...
But you can still think of, oh, well, they did the Ground Zeroes, that kind of previews what the Phantom Pain is going to be like.
Yeah.
And you remember Metal Gear.
I guess if you have to, you know, in a nutshell, with Kojima gone, they need to continue that series. They did put out an ad for someone to direct the next couple of Metal Gear games.
Yeah, but here's the deal, though. If these games are primarily really popular in Japan, you say Kojima anything, and dudes will fucking line up to take a big black dude's dick up the ass just to be able to view a screenshot of these games and shit. With Kojima not being there, you know, most of them are loyal to the director more than the brand. So they're going to be, oh, well, the next games are going to suck. And if they don't produce, then the next one, if it's not Kojima directing it and it flops bad, that series is gone.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to go back to it because, oh, without Kojima, this is a fucking trash game. They won't give any directors any kind of try. They won't allow it. It's like, no, if it's not Kojima, we don't want to buy this game.
It's kind of the same thing that happened with Team Ninja.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't have these directors that are the ones that are synonymous with that game or putting out those type of games, they're not going to buy anything else and just kill Konami. Also, Nintendo started up mobile gaming, finally.
Yeah, I was going to mention that earlier when we were talking about Nintendo.
So, I guess they're getting into the market of handheld or mobile or free-to-play games.
AKA cheap ways to make lots of money.
Yeah, pretty much. You're not wrong about that.
I could see that working out well because mobile games tend to be pretty family-oriented.
And toilet oriented.
You can play them on the crapper, and
almost everybody here has done that.
Yeah.
Time or two.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You might consider, or do you have to play it on a Nintendo phone only?
Is there a Nintendo phone?
Next thing you know, yeah.
Well, because Nintendo's kind of like, you know,
the real Nazis about their brand.
Well, yeah, but I think they're kind of selling out at this point. When they're doing the mobile, they're going to start letting other people use their brand, basically. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, so the thing that I love about this story is that it opens the door for another Philips CDI Legend of Zelda game. Like, Legend of Zelda anybody who is of a certain age or above remembers the Philips CDI version of Mario.
Yeah, I remember that system, and I remember the 3DO.
Hotel Mario, and Mario is missing, and they're like, oh, well, we'll loan out Mario to this you know, Company X to release their own game of Mario. Nothing could go wrong of that, right?
Like, how can you mess up franchise so
big? Who can mess up? Like, sure, we'll let Philips do their own Legends of Zelda game. Who could mess that up? You know, meanwhile, you've got, you know, the my boy, the YouTube video of this ridiculous CD-based animated monstrosity that just makes everybody laugh. What was the Legend of Zelda game called? I don't know.
I'm trying to remember, because I remember that console back when it came out. I really wanted that stupid system, and I wanted the 3DO.
Yeah.
And I never got either one, and then later on, you know, I was just thankful for that, because those things were massive failures.
Terrible. Terrible. So now Nintendo is basically saying, okay, Mobage. Is it Mobage or Mob Age?
Mob Age sounds better.
But you don't know which one it is.
No, I don't fucking know.
Who knows? And who could care, honestly, who this is? This company. They do mobile games, and Nintendo is allowing them to... Jesus Christ, Samson, excuse yourself. Nintendo is allowing this company to create mobile games with their Nintendo properties, i.e. Mario... Zelda.
Samus.
Donkey Kong! Like, what? That's a cat box?
Yes.
I thought that was your computer.
No.
I thought it was like a printer or something. The cat box is dumping turds. Yeah, I can't believe it.
It cleans itself.
Automatic self-cleaning cat shitter.
Jesus, but God, baby Jesus, help us. So it was like, so the mobile game. So Nintendo is obviously their bread and butter is in the characters, right? Like,
yeah.
Mario, Link, all these other characters. This is where all the money, you know. Nintendo is not lighting the world on fire these days. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
Right? Wii U is not selling very well.
No, because every gamer is like...
I guess it's the...
Yeah.
I'll buy a 3DS. DS is like the only thing keeping them going.
So what do people do? You know, people want to play a new Zelda game. People want to play a new Mario game. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... I guess with Nintendo, you know, it's like they're trying to they know what side their bread is buttered on, right? They know that Link is worth a lot as a character.
The one that always hits the ground first. That's the side.
Mario is a big character. Link is a big character. Anything having to do with those two games, or, you know, other, you know, Nintendo hits, they could turn them into mobile games. They could turn them into a free-to-play, you know, like a pay-to-win type game, you know?
Pay-per-click?
Yeah. they're for the dirty casuals. If you remember, early on, Nintendo said, hey... 3DS isn't competing with iPhone. You know, our handheld business is not impacted by the iPhone, or to suggest that the success of the iPhone platform, right, the mobile market, Nintendo is only fooling themselves if they continue to say, hey, this isn't our competition. It is your competition, and this is where it has cost them in sales of 3DS, in, you know, towards the end of the DS life cycle. People were finding those small bite-sized games on their Androids and on their iPhones. So why buy handhelds anymore?
Yeah.
You know, it's that type of situation. Nintendo has found themselves in that situation, and to be honest, I'm very surprised that they have joined the 21st century in getting into the mobile market this way.
Yeah. Took them long enough.
It did.
Well, they have that pride thing about them, and they, for the longest time, I think they didn't want to, you know, let anyone else use their characters either.
Well, I mean, but it opens up so much more stuff, like all of those fucking companion apps for all the games that we play. I mean, there's a freaking companion app for the PlayStation itself, PS4 itself, right? I mean, I can manage everything on my fucking PS4 from my phone. That kind of stuff is so desirable when it comes to, like, gamers like us that, you know, work the 9-to-5, and then, you know, we have, and some of us, or one of us has kids, and when you can, you know, be on the crapper at work.
Well, not Bubba, though.
No, well, when I can be on the crapper at work, I can, and Sal's texting like, hey, the latest PS Plus games are out for free. Quote unquote, Andrew, and I'll just be like, oh, hell yeah, and I'll just send them the download, and when the time I get home, they're ready for me to play. That and like the different companion apps, like the Destiny companion app, things like that make the metagame and make the games on those systems so much cooler. Like, Nintendo needs to have that if they ever want to compete again, pretty much. So there should be a. This could hopefully be a step in the right direction, but I see it being dangerous because of how prideful, traditional, and in the dark Nintendo is.
I think if they are going to start making mobile games, it have to be new mobile games. Mm-hmm. They can't just be like, oh, you can play an emulated version of Final Fantasy 1 on your phone. People are going to say, what do you mean? I got a fucking emulator that plays Neo Geo games on my fucking phone. I play your fucking shitty game. I'll just download the ROM of it.
Well, they could. I mean, yeah, but they could make mobile versions of you know, like 3DS games or something.
It would be perfect for mobile. Would be another one of those WarioWare games.
Sure. Yeah.
If you remember that, Pikmin. It was a bunch of mini games basically, which would be perfect.
I think for mobile. Pikmin could work with mobile.
Could touch so screen.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, touch I don't disagree interface. With that.
But you know. We'll see what happens.
Hopefully something good. I don't really want Nintendo to fail. I mean, they're one of my first consoles.
None of us do. We're just, you know, kind of...
It's been stagnant,
I guess. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Like, we're just going to pretend that they don't currently really exist so that we don't have to accept the fact that if they... were to die out. we don't have to.
I'm holding out hope they're gonna somehow start another second golden age of gaming, you know, at some point down the line.
Sure.
Revolutionize gaming.
You never know.
It's doubtful though.
Well, because they were kind of the ones that, you know, ushered in the golden age of gaming time around.
The old men in charge have gone senile, dude. They're too busy longing for the times of plenty and instead of doing something in the times of famine. They're just gonna let the company go under.
Yeah. We'll see.
And now that we're all depressed.
Bubba.
Remember the time we did coke off of that hooker in Akihabara? Those good times, right?
I don't remember that.
No, you wouldn't.
We're gonna play about remasters now? Where
Bubba.
He just goes... Baba.
Baba.
That's it.
I think they call it a cold toss in the business when they just kind of...
In the business. That's what we call this in the business.
Baba.
In the business of show.
Some remastered.
So, yeah. So, there was some news in regards to the PlayStation 4 version of God of War 3. So this was announced this week that we have a remastered version of the last, well, I don't want to say the last God of War, but the last mainline God of War game, God of War 3, is going to be remastered for the PlayStation 4. And we're also getting a bundle or a, you know, a package of what they're calling the Arkham series, which is Arkham Asylum and Arkham City on PS4. Now, I think Arkham City was one of the best games of the PS3 generation, but what do you guys think about all this shit about them re-releasing the same games over and over again that were on PS3 and basically just releasing them for PS4?
Yeah, I understand if it's for like a newer game from like the previous gen and then saying, hey, remastered, here's $60, give me $60. Like fucking Type-0, Final Fantasy Type-0. Remastered, $60, dude. Fucking shit.
And that was a PSP game.
PSP game. Wow. Ridiculous. How can they fucking, the cojones on these guys?
Yes. Yeah, but their main, where the trick there, did though, is they included the Final Fantasy 15 demo if you buy that game.
I think that's really all that was. Well, I think the biggest problem is that it's a full-priced fucking game. When you look at the remaster, it's like...
Not all of them, but that particular one.
No, but it's like, I already bought, you know, the previous version. I already played it. You know, maybe I want to try it on a remastered version, but I don't want to spend another $60.
Yeah, to be fair, that's not always the case. I think, like, they did another re-release of Resident Evil, and I believe that was only $20.
Mm-hmm.
It was another HD remake of the original. Although, actually, it wasn't actually... They were remaking the more... the game.
It was like the remake of the GameCube, the newer version.
Yeah, the GameCube, which was like another remastered
right, which was original. Itself a remake of Resident Evil 1.
So, yeah, that's like the great... That's like a great example of... Because that was like double... Basically double remastered and reissued. But that was only $20. And I did buy it, so...
Well, that one was remade and then remastered.
Yeah.
Because the GameCube version was different than the original.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was like a kind of a... like, it was a remastered, but it was also like kind of a remix, I guess.
It was a remake, a redux.
They also had the director's cut of the original Resident Evil, which was like yet another version.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a big Resident Evil nerd, so I did end up buying that one.
It's like, I did buy all of them. I just wanted to complain about it.
But, well, I'm saying it's not... If they make a remaster and it's only, like, say, $40 instead of $60 or $30, it's not as bad. But I think they could just as easily take these games and just put the same one out, the digital download version on the newer consoles and, you know, charge $5 or $10.
Right.
Just so you can play it on PS4 because your PS3 is in the console graveyard.
Yeah, or for some new gamers that maybe haven't had the previous systems and they want to try these games, like Last of Us or Tomb Raider, they did a remaster of that as well.
Yeah, they did.
But they could just as easily just put the, you know, same one up there, digital download. That worked just as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, other complaints on that?
Yeah. I'm generally pissed about it, but I think we'll hear a little more about it.
Yeah, when we get to the main episode. Topic.
We'll talk more about remastered games how we feel about them later on in the episode. But first, Mo, what have you been playing lately?
Been playing the same thing that Sal's been playing. We've been both playing Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Yeah, it's pretty good so far. I just wish the graphics budget was a little bit... It looks like the original one that came out on the 3DS.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, the original game was on portable systems. I guess it was 3DS.
And then they re-released it on PC, remastered an HD version, which is the one that I played.
Yeah, they also put it on... 360 and PS3. Oh, I played I have the Revelations, the first one. I have it on 360. So that was yet again another remaster / re-release of a portable game. And so this is a console sequel of what was originally a portable game, which is kind of a weird concept.
Yeah, but they kept the graphics the same. So,
but it's a $40 game. So,
well, yeah, that's $40, but still
pricey.
Yeah, it's when you get a quote budget game and they release this thing episodically, you can't, you know, you shouldn't be expecting it to be, I don't know, what's it, Resident Evil 6 level of graphics, I guess.
Right.
I'll use another Resident Evil as an example, even though that was like the worst example. Yeah, I was, as I was saying, this game's still better than Resident Evil 6, and it has like probably a tenth the budget.
He just wants to open up old wounds, Bubba.
Dude, come on! I put hundreds of hours into Resident Evil 6. I don't know if I'm sad to say that. I'm just saying.
No, I am with you on this.
I got all the achievements.
I spent a lot of time in Resident Evil 6, and then it ended, and I was like, why? Why did I do that? There's no reason for it.
But yeah, mind you, if you don't buy the disc version, you gotta get it in episodes, dude. If you get it on the PlayStation Store, or is it on the 360? I mean, on the Boner?
It's on PC, and it's on, I think, 360, Xbone, PS3, PS4, and PC. So all the above.
Yeah, so if you don't buy the disc version, you have to buy it in episodes, and currently there's only one episode out, but the discs has all of them.
No, they're all out.
All the episodes?
They put all the episodes out before they released the disc version, which includes
when I looked at it, all I saw was episode one on there.
You might have to hunt for it, but they're all there. Yeah, they released them, I think a week or two apart, and each one was, like you said, like $6. Mm. Kind of like the way they did Game of Thrones, Telltale game.
Right.
Because for whatever reason,
episodic game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was a weird decision to go with the episodic release of Resident Evil. I don't know. Capcom, I guess, was just trying to get in on that market of like the episode games that they've been doing.
No, it's Telltale the stuff. Stingy market. They're trying to get into the stingy market.
It's kind of like mobile gaming too. You know, that kind of thing.
It has all this more money.
Yeah, exactly. They included a bunch of microtransaction downloadable crap for it, which is kind of annoying. But the game itself, I think it's still pretty fun. It's more of the classic Resident Evil style instead of the more recent, like Resident Evil 6 again was more action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but orientated. You know what I really like about it is that the zombies aren't overly powerful. It can take overly a fuck ton of damage before they finally die.
Sure.
Like you can shoot them in the head and one shot could kill them depending on where you hit them, like in the back of the head. Pops off and they die in one shot.
Yeah, and you can also do stealth kills on things in this, which is fun. You can sneak up on
even the bigger guys.
Yeah, like really big guys that you normally have trouble with. You get up behind them and stab them in the back of the head.
It makes it easier to play the game and run through it and enjoy it. Whereas in the other one, you're like, fuck. If I don't shoot this guy, I'm fucked, dude. I don't have any more shotgun ammo. The next area is going to kill me. This one's a little bit more lenient. Like, well, I could just go in over there and knife the guy. Or
yeah,
and if you're playing co-op, you can have the second player shine the flashlight on him or throw a brick at his head.
Yeah, I'd say it's another co-op experience too, just like 6 and 5, where even if you're playing by yourself, you have to have a co-op AI partner, which I don't recommend. It's definitely better if you have a second person because the AI tends to do stupid shit. And so when you're trying to set up some kind of teamwork situation, your partner will just be staring at the wall if it's AI. Or if it's Sal and he's really stoned, you're also staring at the wall when you need him to do something.
Same thing.
So sometimes Sal is as good as an AI.
But yeah, I think we rambled on enough about that. Anyway, it's $40. I think it's worth it. If you could stomach Resident Evil 6, this is a step up from that.
Yeah, so this is palatable.
It's got, good, interesting characters and story and, some cool teamwork to it. Hey, moving on, I guess.
Bubba, what have you been playing?
I have been playing, believe this or not, I have been playing Lego The Hobbit.
I'll believe that. I know you're into the Lego games.
I do like the Lego games. I mean, mostly I play the Lego games with my kids, and we played...
That's your cover story, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude. Oh,
we played like
the... BS.
We played the Lego Marvel game.
He platinumed it. I'm just
earlier.
Just saying, Lego, Bubba platinumed it.
I did platinum that game. I kind of platinumed that game. I also played a couple of the Lego Batman games. They're really good. I have fun playing them. They had a flash sale on PSN for a lot of Lego games they had on sale. And so I had the opportunity to pick up Lego The Hobbit for, I want to say it was like $7. It was super cheap. And I'm like, man, that's a easy platinum or just a fun game to play like with the kids. For $7, yeah, I'm in. I'll do it. So I ended up playing The Hobbit, Lego The Hobbit, and it's pretty much like every other Lego game out there. There is a... they add a inventory system, which is... It seems like it's completely unnecessary. When you bash things apart, which happens frequently in Lego games, right? You would bash a... Like, you would slam your sword into a bush, right? And it would explode and give you a bunch of free pegs, which you can later use for, you know, currency.
Just basically. Like real life when you slam your sword into a bush.
Sure, of course. Mm-hmm. You want to always slam your sword into a bush. Whenever you have the chance, why wouldn't you? You would slam that bush. You would slam that bush. Sword. And you would slam it hard. Slam it long and slam it hard. But in any case, it will kick you up a bunch of, you know, like a bonus or whatever. But in The Hobbit, you actually get inventory. Like, you'll get gems or rope or wood from destroying shit. Well, what happens is you collect all these, you collect all these items, basically. And then when you go to a forge, you would have to build something out of the forge using some of the shit you got. Like, you might have something that requires, like, 4 pieces of wood, 3 ropes, all these different items that you would have to pick up.
Sounds like Jack would love this game.
It's very collect the item, spin the item. It's very Minecrafty.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you get to one of these forges and you don't have what you need, well, there's a bush just to the right of you. So whip the shit out of that bush and get a bunch of wood out of it. You know, it seems like it's adding something to the game. It's not adding anything to the game. There's nothing else to be done there. And if there's a puzzle you can't solve, or there's something going on that you can't resolve, dude, go back to the bush, whip it a few times, wood comes out of it, take the wood.
It makes sense that there's wood inside bushes.
Rinse, repeat, ad infinitum, you're done. I'm into about the second Hobbit movie, and if you recall, there's 3.
Yep.
That guy could stand for an editor. That what's his
Peter
name?
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, Peter Jackson. Dude, King Kong was what, like 3.5 hours long, and the Hobbit movies. He made 3 movies out of 1 book. Are you kidding me? Dude, get out of here with that shit, Peter Jackson. Get out of here. No interest.
3 hour movies.
And the special editions are even longer.
Yeah, so I'm at about the second movie of the Hobbit trilogy. And, it's fun. It's
the
I'm
having a good time. Of smoke.
I'm having a good time, but yeah, when I get to Smaug, once I get to Smaug.
Smaug.
I'm done.
Is it Cumberbatch in it?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, that is a good thing about it, is that all of the dialogue from the game is cut directly from the movie. So you have all of the voice acting is done by the real actors. So you have what's his name played the Hobbit? Martin Freeman played the Hobbit, and then you had all these little dwarves. All of their lines from the movie are put into the game. So it's in their actual voice. So you don't have to worry about, like, fake sound-alike, voice actors. It is the actual real voice actors.
So that... But you're saying, to be clear, you're saying they had him, like, reprise the role and record whole new dialogue, right?
No. It is the dialogue from the movies.
Okay, so it is...
replayed.
Oh, okay. Just making sure... Yeah, that's a cheaper method that way.
It's pretty cheap, but, you know, like I said, if you've ever played any of these Lego games, you know what you're getting into. It's pretty cheap.
remastered that. Oh, very nice, very nice.
Yes. 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 Sam, what have you been playing?
Oh my god.
I've been playing Bloodborne. It just released a few days ago, right before we recorded this episode, and
I was the one who recommended it to you, so you're welcome.
Did you?
Well, you were asking about
good games to play,
and I said, okay. "Yeah, Bloodborne just came out today," and then like 5 minutes later, you're like, "Okay, yeah, I got Bloodborne."
That's funny because I think I actually started downloading it before I saw that in the chat because I don't recall. I just found it as I was going through stuff.
Oh, well, that's, well, maybe, but yeah, the way it looked to me in the chat, it was, I mentioned it and then you said, yeah, okay, I got Bloodborne. But yeah, maybe you had already got it before I told you.
I think you were talking about it and I was like, yeah, I just got it. I just downloaded it.
All right. Then you can blame yourself then for your own suffering. Yeah, I was just trying to take credit for your misery.
Yeah, so I've been playing it pretty much nonstop since I got it a few nights ago. And I was streaming it. Mo watched. That was about it.
And one or two random people came in for me.
I got a spammer come in once. But that game is intense. If you've played Dark Souls, these are the same people that made the Dark Souls games. And I've only really played Dark Souls once, and after I died once, I rage quit that game. So already I can say that Bloodborne, in my opinion, probably isn't as hard, but it's still really fucking hard. It is a fucking hard game. This game is not easy. There's only two settings, and I don't even have the second setting unlocked. And the second setting, New Game Plus or whatever,
mm-hmm.
The fucking developers can't even beat it.
Yeah,
they made the game can't beat that skill level yet. So
just because you can make a good game doesn't make you a good gamer.
No, but who's gonna fucking beat that skill level?
A good gamer.
It is punishingly addicting. Like, I've almost rage quit a few times.
Kind of like doing Diablo hardcore mode. Is that a good example?
No, it isn't. Because that's at least when your character dies, you're relieved after you get over it. This is like Groundhog Day torment. Because, like, you have to... Every time you die, you lose all of the blood echoes, which are like, blood echoes are like your currency and XP.
Yeah, it's the same as Dark Souls. I think you just had souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, and every time you die, you drop those blood echoes. Now, you can go back and pick them up if you're lucky. You see them laying on the ground. If you're not as lucky, you can fight a monster for them to get them back. You'll see his eyes will be glowing. But if you die a second time, those are gone. You can't ever get those blood echoes back. You gotta start over. And every time you die, you respawn at one of the lanterns, which is, again, not new for Dark Souls people because it's like the campfire. Everything respawns. So wherever you died last, you have to fight your way through all those guys or run past them or somehow avoid them to get back to where your fucking blood echoes are.
Yeah, it's part of the fun of all that game and the Souls game. It's like, in order to make real progress, you have to get to another campfire or lantern, you know, to another checkpoint. Yeah.
The bestiary is pretty impressive. They're really, really neat monsters, and you fight, you know, small, normal-sized dudes, giant dudes, and, like, super giant dudes that are, like, you know, massive. If you want to, like, when you first start, regardless of what your knowledge of Souls games or anything is, one of the reasons why I think that this game is quote-unquote easier than Dark Souls is because the controls are way better.
You can really move and
maneuver. But until you get good at that, you are dying constantly. constantly dying, like, and getting frustrated. And they still haven't fixed the load time, so it's up to 45 seconds after you die watching a load screen.
On a PS4, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's, and you're talking dying every 5 minutes, and 1 minute of that is loading. That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, people from IGN and I think Force Strategy, they did a test where they were using the SSD drives to the standard drive that comes with it, mm-hmm. to an upgraded 1 terabyte drive, 7200 RPM.
A 1 terabyte.
And all of the load
close
times,
enough.
All yeah. the load times were exactly the same. It should be loading faster on the SSD. So that's a game optimization glitch.
Yeah, they're supposed to patch it. Yeah.
And then there's a progression bug, and then there's frame rate drops, which should not be happening in a game that's locked at 30 frames. It drops to like 19 frames and it fluctuates a certain.
All that other stuff is shit that I didn't know.
It's all optimization stuff that needs to be fixed, but the game itself is pretty much fucking complete, dude. A really good game.
It's amazing. It looks fucking amazing. I love everything, the artwork, the monsters, the hunter wear. I'm currently wearing like this. I look like a sir. My chick has like a top hat and fucking like 1400s like overcoat style.
It's steampunk goth stuff. Yeah, that's where Sam loves it.
Steampunky. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like level 35 or 36 or something now. I've been farming a lot in the second area, the cathedral area. I beat the first and second bosses. I about shit myself when I fought the first boss. Mo was watching me play. That was scary.
Yeah.
That I'm gonna tell you one thing about this game. Adrenaline, motherfucker. Lots of adrenaline when I'm playing this game.
Yeah, because a lot of shit can one shot you.
So. Yeah, and you have to level up your vitality and endurance, I believe, as soon as you can, because then you won't get one shot as much. You still get the shit beat out of you though if you don't know how to dodge. You have to be able to lock on, dodge. And do special moves to stagger your enemies. Because you can get like a pretty big dude coming at you. If you fire your gun at him at the right time when he's attacking, and it's not easy, you have to do it just right or it won't work, then it stuns him. And if you're close enough when you stun him, you can rip his guts out with one blow and kill him instantly. Same thing goes for sneaking up behind somebody. If you sneak up behind like a small to normal sized enemy, and you charge a shot and you'll hit once, and then you can stab him in the back again and kill him instantly. And it's really bloody and it's very visceral. It's called a visceral attack, actually, and it's very satisfying when you get one of those done, mm-hmm. because it turns a battle with that enemy from 10 seconds to a freaking minute to the like 5-10 seconds max it takes to kill him. Just getting lots of blood echoes and upgrading my weapons and leveling up and fortifying weapons and shit. It's very grindy. My thumbs and my index fingers hurt for the last 3 days of playing Bloodborne.
Oh, God.
My fingers are sore. Okay.
You got blisters on your fingers?
It's intense. I got blisters on my fingers! But, it's intense, and it's a bit emotionally draining. At one point, I think it was in the second area, and I had, like, 10,000 blood echoes, which is, at that current time, could have, like, leveled me twice. And I was doing something stupid and I died, and I was like, fuck, okay, I'll go back. And then I was on my way back to get them, and I was so fucking close to getting those 10,000 back, and then I died the second time before I got them back, and then I just fucking fell over on the couch, just like I was like weepsturbating, and I was like, yeah, why? And then 5-10 minutes later, I just got back up and fucking started playing it again.
That's why you need the camera when you're streaming, so we can see you falling around on the couch crying.
But at that point, I was ready to stick the remote control up my ass.
Or don't, if you're going to show that.
It just looks so badass. I really like how bloody it is, too. I think the coolest part about the whole blood thing is as you progress, or as you get more blood echoes, in each instance, you get completely covered in blood, and the more echoes you have, the more blood is all over you. It looks really, it's all like glistening in the sun, you know, like the sunset. It's really like,
he's getting kind of turned on over there.
But then when you go back to the Hunter's Dream, which is your central hub, it like instantly cleans you off and heals you and stuff.
The Hunter's Dream.
Yeah. So every time you die, when you first die, you appear in the Hunter's Dream. Then every time after that, you respawn at the last lantern you were at. But at any time, you can go back to the Hunter's Dream.
So it's like the Serpent Road from Dragon Ball
Z? Yeah. So the Hunter's Dream is where you upgrade your weapons and level up and buy items and stuff and progress some story elements.
Yeah, like you said, it's basically like the town or whatnot.
Yeah, it is like the town. But yeah, it's definitely, it's the opposite of like a permadeath game. It's like a fate worse than death game, honestly. Because you feel like you can easily lose so much progress if you fuck up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and I finally found that enemy that drains insight. It looks like a fucking little like humanoid Cthulhu dude.
Oh, okay.
And he sticks a tentacle in your brain and sucks out your insight. Really fucking annoying.
Yeah, people say to watch out for that thing.
Yeah, I avoid it like the plague now. Because it got like 3 of my insight points. Insight's another stat that I'm not quite sure what it does.
All I know is you need a certain amount of it before it really helps you.
Yeah, I have a lot of like 16. Or something. I have like 16. I feel very drained after talking about that game.
So now it's my turn, son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. We both already talked about Resident Evil.
Yeah.
No,
I'm doing Zombie Army of Army Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been playing this with Another Andrew, dude. Game. Dude, this zombie game is amazing, dude. It's made by the guys who did Sniper Elite.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, they put in their X-ray kill fucking cam when you
shoot somebody, you see the bullet pass through their body.
Basically. Pass through their body, crack the bones or whatever, and you can get these crazy ass 4-in-1 shots, dude. I shot a zombie through the torso, it came out the other side, hit a fucking skeleton above you, made him explode, and then the bullet ricocheted a certain other way, hit a zombie on the head, dude, brained him, and then hit the other dude right behind him, and he dropped as well, but it hit him in the heart. You can get some crazy ass sniper kills in this shit, dude. If you get them all lined up, dude, your ducks in a row, dude, you can go through 4 heads, dude, before the bullet finally gets done.
Wow.
And it's more like a Left 4 Dead type of game. You dropped off in a certain spot.
Now it's co-op, right? Co-op. You're playing with other people.
Yeah, up to 4 players can play. Okay.
Just like Left 4 Dead, which one of them games is better with playing with people.
But the weapons you get on this are very limited. They're not like the zombie game in COD, where you can upgrade packet punch your guns and make them stronger or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The guns you get are the guns that's it, that's all you get. They're just, and then they're all World War II era weapons, so you don't get this Nazi super rifle or a laser gun or anything. You can get a Thompson, you can get some fucking MP44 and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Springfield.
No Farsight?
The Mosin Nagant. Mm. You can get a Mosin Nagant in it.
Yeah, the M1 Garand, right?
The M1 Garand, that was another one of the good ones. And then you can get shotguns and shit like that. And some basic pistols. And they just, it's scenarios, but it's a whole story going through each scenario. And you're trying to stop zombie Hitler from taking over the world.
Have you fought zombie Hitler yet?
We beat the game already. Yeah, so we took on zombie Hitler and we kicked his ass.
Yeah. Zombie Hitler, you gotta watch out for that guy. He's crafty.
Is he friends with Adolf Hitler?
Possibly.
They run in the same circles.
Yeah.
Yep.
But each level is pretty cool. The waves of zombies that they throw at you is pretty much the same. You get the regular Shambler guys, and then you get suicide bombers. These guys are fucking lit red, dude, running with dynamite strapped through your chest.
Oh, jeez.
Running with fucking dynamite in their hand that's already sparked. And they fucking haul ass, and if you don't drop them before they get to you, they'll run up to you and just go, and blow up. And they knock you over, and somebody has to come over to revive you. Or if they're close enough to both characters, they'll blow up, and then the characters themselves blow up, and you just leave like a torso. And, like, there's a pistol called the Webley. I guess it's like a 45 or something, British pistol. And you shoot the zombie and shit in the chest, it just explodes, dude. I was like, holy crap. And then sometimes if you shoot them a certain way, you can like just shear them in half, dude, and then you get the crawlers and shit trying to get you. But it has everything that COD Zombies should have had. You're and right. It used to have, like at World at War, that's not there anymore, which makes it made the game more enjoyable to be more of an arcade type of game.
Yeah,
especially with the 3D x-ray kills, those shits are fucking nuts. And you get a sniper at a long distance and it goes through the eye and shit.
Yeah, I've seen some of the kills on YouTube for the, I guess it was Sniper Elite 3.
Shoot him in the balls?
Yeah, you can shoot him in the balls. That guy gets shot in the balls and you get credited with a testicle kill.
Now, is it only co-op?
No, you can play a single player. But yeah, there's a campaign mode. There's a campaign mode and there's horde mode. In horde mode, you just get waves and waves of zombies coming at you, and you gotta survive. Where in campaign, it moves you through the
it's like those stages. Yeah.
It's chapters. So each big chunk is one chapter.
This should do it like Left 4 Dead, then they should do multiplayer where you can be like the zombies.
I think this is all just
And co-op. This is a budget title though. It was only $40.
I don't think you're gonna see it looked, like a beat
we saw, we saw it, that, we but. Saw it as the mystery trailer
yeah.
on the last episode, and that was it looked freaking amazing.
Yeah, the game was fun as shit, dude. Taking out Zombie Hitler was fucking hard as fuck. Cause he's hovering over a hellmouth, and his projection is, and then he's up on top of the pedestal, and he has like a force field around them protecting him, so you can't shoot him. There's these dead bodies all over the place, and you gotta grab them as a sacrifice, drag them down the fucking stairs. Mind you, while he's spawning a shit ton of zombies. Mm-hmm. And throw them in the hell pit to where it's gonna weaken them. And then you run up to the side and you pop them one. And then he goes like, oh God. And then he puts up another shield. You gotta do it three times. And there's these...
That makes me think of Mario Brothers 2 for some reason when you had to throw the vegetables.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
the toad dude's mouth. How was that guy's name? Some evil frog guy.
Yeah. Something King Toad, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah, and you had to run. It was like one of them things. You had to grab the stuff.
Yeah, but by the second time, the first time you throw before you get the sacrifice, he'll spawn like maybe a good 10 zombies, and you just chuck a grenade in the whole fucking thing and it'll just kill everybody. But the second time around, he'll start spawning elites. And these guys, you gotta pop their helmet off before you can even get close at shooting them in the head, and then you gotta shoot them a lot. In the head while they're trying to shoot you with those mini guns that they have. And then by the third time, he just spawns like continuous hordes of zombies. They just wave after wave after wave. So you gotta jump off to the side and then throw the thing in there and you finally pop them and kill Zombie Hitler. And then the artifact that he used you to open the hellmouth, you throw it in and then the American sniper guy goes, blows it up.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah. Come on, Sal.
It was a good. It was fun, dude. The game was fun as shit, dude. It was well worth the $40.
Yeah.
Now I just gotta play horde mode and see how far we can get. Because there's at one point towards the end,
fucking Andrew. I had died, dude, and there's this part where it just shit tons of zombies and armored zombies come out. And he was by himself, dude, and he beat it by himself. He got to the same point. Like, holy shit, how the fuck did you survive that? That was nuts. You get this crazy double barrel shotgun called the Preacher. You fucking just melt fucking zombies. There's just anything in the cone in front of you is splattered. And you ended up beating him with that shit. I was like, oh, fuck. But, dude, that game is good, dude. It's a legit game.
Yeah, I'll probably get
titles, it. Dude, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, go get it.
Fun as shit.
Maybe on Xbox, though, because we have two controls for
Xbox. Yeah, so that's what I've been playing.
PS4. You play online with it.
Yep.
You do that, too. You
play with Sal and Andrew.
No, I don't like them.
Well, yeah, and who does?
Can't handle the tooth. Yeah, that does it for our latest games. Let's take a break now and get a message from... Who do we have this time?
You know what? Let's bring back Arjun.
Arjun?
Sure.
Yeah. I think Arjun is going to tell you...
Arjun rocks.
Arjun rocks is going to tell you a little bit about OTR during the break. And we will be right back with... Remastered.
This song don't give a damn. If the rhymes don't fit, the DJ quit. This song don't give a damn.
Hey, party people of the internet, it is I, Arjun, the toast of the Taj Mahal and the Maharaja of merrymaking. I'm here to tell you about the dopest of our podcast. It's called Off the Rails and it features my homies Noah, Sean and Booba. These guys love to taste and judge beer. Sean maybe like to taste it a bit too much, but that's cool, bro. These three buddies drink beer and hate on popular culture like TV, movies and comics, video games, pro wrestling, and so forth and whatnot. Give it a listen, buddy, at www.offtherailspodcast.com. Also available on iTunes. Download Off the Rails Podcast. It's off the chain, dog.
And we're back. And so I guess the last bit of news we have to talk about is the new games that were announced. Or when I say new, listeners, I'm doing the finger quotes thing with my fingers because these are not new games at all. really, are they? We had the... God of War 3 Remaster was announced by Sony, as well as the remastered editions of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, the first two parts of the Arkham trilogy. It seems like a big money grab to me. What do you guys say?
That's a money grab, dude. Like, they got my money, dude, when they remastered DuckTales, dude.
Right. But they want it again. They want your money continuously.
Yeah, they got me with Resident Evil remastered. I,
Yeah, they didn't play this game. There's marks out there like us that'll fucking buy the game the way I would.
They marks.
Right. I like to think of myself as above that, but one of the games I've been playing the most, right, is GTA 5. And that is nothing more than a remaster of the PS3/360 versions of that game, right? That came out. So
at least it has a whole new story.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it seems to be the norm is that these companies are re-releasing the same games over and over and over again. They're basically pulling a Nintendo and living off of people wanting to play the same game multiple times.
Yeah, I got the PlayStation 4 version of Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Played the shit out of that again.
Yeah, I think part of that is, like you were saying, like with Nintendo, it's kind of like, you know, once they got some kind of formula that works, they don't want to risk branching out. They
it's just like a dog biting down.
They stick with what works, like, you know, like the Assassin's Creed games, for example. Those are all similar. Like you said, GTA is another example. And Nintendo, of course, notorious for that.
Yeah, dude. And when Final Fantasy VII finally gets remastered and re-released. Mm-hmm.
Shit. You're gonna buy it, aren't you?
Dude, the money that's gonna be spent on that game, dude, is gonna be in the small third world country is gonna be like, God damn, I wish we had that kind of money. Everybody and their grandmother, even their grandmothers are gonna be buying this game. I remember this game when it first came out on the PlayStation 1.
But at a certain time, though, don't you think it's right for the developer or, you know, whoever designed the game to, like, let go of it? Because we're going to continue to get nothing but PS3 games on the PS4.
Here's the thing, though. I think this is kind of cool, but for the prices that they're charging to buy these games, that I think that's not cool.
Yeah, it's absorbent.
The game's already been developed. They've made their money on the development, the sales, and everything else. The money's been made.
Right.
Fucking, they can charge $10 per game and still be making a shit ton of profit. Them charging you $60 for Type Zero, oh my God.
Yeah, it seems crazy.
But you bought it anyway.
I didn't buy it.
He was debating it. You were seriously debating it.
Yeah, I was seriously debating it.
Mostly because of the Final Fantasy 15 demo.
The demo. And then I was like, well, I saw the demo on Twitch, so it's like I played it, so I didn't get it. Mm. I wasn't going to pay $60.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, the $60,
$40. And when they price drop it, when they price drop it down to 50 or 40, then you're going
to? No, if it goes to 30, I'll buy it. Because that's how much it used to cost on the PSP. $30.
Well, I mean, yeah, the price point is probably the biggest issue that I have. But it's really only an issue to me if I already had the game on a previous system.
Well, look, I had GTA on PS3, and then I ended up getting on PS4.
I wouldn't care. About paying $60 for GTA on PS4 because I never bought it on for PS3. Mm. But I feel that if you did buy the game, previous game, that it should be discounted somehow. If it's just a straight remaster, i.e. it's essentially just made for the PS4. But if it's a remake, if it's a slightly different game somehow, if things are different, I could still see paying more. But when I say discount, I mean like, not, you know, $40 or $30, I mean like $10, because I already paid $60 for the game.
Right.
I just want to be able to play it on my new console. Like with Destiny, for example.
Yeah, they offered the upgrades.
I upgraded it for free to the PS4 when I got the PS4. That's a little bit different because it's an MMO, but, well, MMO-ish. But, you know, it's just, again, if I never played it or never bought
it. Yeah, they should have done it like with Black Flag and gave you that free. Well, it wasn't free. It was $15 and you get to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. Upgrade to it. I mean, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Normal agrees. But,
definitely see Bubba's Nermal, point, you though. Normal, you digress. Where if they keep doing that, they're not pushing any new products.
Yeah.
We're kind of stagnant because of that.
Yeah, we're basically just playing the same games over and over and over again because we're buying the same games that these guys are producing. Yeah.
Capcom is really bad on the Nintendo systems, on the Wii U and the 3DS. They just keep re-releasing their Mega Man games.
Right, yeah. I mean, what else do they have? Capcom has Street Fighter and Mega Man, and those are pretty much the only properties. You could make the argument for Dead Rising, like there's always room for another Dead Rising game, but ultimately,
Ghosts and Goblins too.
Ultimately, yeah, you're looking at Ghosts and Goblins, possibly Street Fighter and Mega Man. Those are their franchises right there. So, you know, what do they really get out of that?
That's a valid point.
Especially, yeah, the cat makes a Very valid point.
But yeah, I mean, that's why 90% of the games that I play on PS4 are free, quote-unquote, free PS Plus games. Mm-hmm. And with the exception of, you know, with the exception of Bloodborne, because that's an actual new game that came out.
Right.
Even though it's very Dark Souls-y.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, even if the closest you could get to that would be say, oh, it's like a remake.
So you can say it's a remaster of Dark Souls.
Yeah, but it's not a remaster. But, I mean,
it's still the same formula, though. So, I mean, that still kind of fits into this conversation.
I mean, I would say it's still a different game, though. Different story, different game. Just uses a tried and true system.
Right. Well, I mean, you want to talk about systems, you want to talk about remastered games. It would be, I would be remiss if I did not mention this week, probably the biggest game out there is the Handsome Collection, the Borderlands, Borderlands 2 / pre-sequel, right? Because you're getting both of them in the same package.
Plus all the expansions.
Yeah, and you get all the add-ons and the whatnot, but is it really that optimized to where the game is totally different from the PS3? Yeah, it's probably a different game, but like from the
PC to
when you look at the jump from PC to console, you know what? PC seems like they got a pretty decent, you know, frame rate. These games have all come out on PC before. Who is this game for, basically? Other than people who haven't played Borderlands before.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what they're thinking. Oh, we can catch the new gamers that just hit the right age for the
Borderlands and someone franchise. Recommended it to them because it was an awesome game. They're like, oh, now you can get it all. And then all the people that bought it for full price and whatnot are kicking themselves.
Yeah, it's kind of kicking people in the balls that have bought the games previously and then bought all the DLC and paid, you know, a shit ton of money, and then now you can, because the Handsome Jack collection, I think, is way less.
It's like 40 the bucks classic battle chest effect. I mean, that always happens at some point.
That's the only one that happens, because you normally you might have theoretically spent, you know, $60 twice over for each game, and then probably another $60 for all the DLC.
Because that's what Blizzard does, you know, like after you've bought every game for full price and it's been out for, you know, several years, then they'll release what they call the battle chest of that game, and it'll be the original game and all the add-ons for like the same price that one of them costs. So
yeah, well, they do that. I mean, they do that with Game of the Year editions of a lot of games too. So
right,
true. Yeah, it's not exclusive to any one company.
Sure,
it's annoying if you've already sunk all the money in.
Overall, I would agree that they really need to kick it in gear with other, you know, new games instead of remasters, because I think they've covered like the important remasters already. Like, who cares about any other remasters at this point?
Yeah, but that goes back to these companies not wanting to take any more risks anymore. They got something that's...
And that's why you have to rely...
This got us millions of dollars. Let's just remaster it.
That's why. And this is why we have to rely on the indie gaming companies to make us new games.
I wish a couple of these games would be a huge financial disaster so that the companies who make them would be like, oh, well, maybe we can't just do this. You know, look at a smaller developer and see what they did right.
Like, I am looking forward to No Man's Sky whenever that comes out. It's supposed to be this year, but that game looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks like an awesome game.
And I really want to play that. And that's not a mainstream developer either.
Right.
It's another small team. Hopefully everything goes well, because it seems like a massive undertaking for a small team, that particular game.
That's another problem, I think, with the bigger companies now, too. The production costs are so high now, they have to kind of bank.
They can't take any chances.
Nickel and diming people. And they got to first make sure they get something that's going to sell a lot, and then they're going to throw in some microtransactions and some DLC out the ass to really bring back in the money on their, you know, get that return on investment.
Or it could be like Ubisoft and put out the same game over and over again and change the name and then add pirates at one point.
Are you saying that Assassin's Creed sucks? Because you're right.
Come on, Black Flag was pretty good.
Black Flag, it was a good game, but, you know, Ubisoft stifles, you know, creativity. You know, and if you played Unity, you would kind of see that they kind of did everything within their power to make sure that the game sucked.
Yeah, you know? I skipped that one from everything I heard. From day one, there were all the launch problems, and then...
Yeah, it was just no good. It was just a boring game, really, frankly.
That's how I felt about the first two Assassin's Creed. They didn't really do it for me, but then Black Flag
stepped up. Well, get ready, because at some point on your PS4, you'll be able to play Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Brotherhood, and everything else.
I'm sure that's in the cards. It is Ubi. They're very... they do that. They definitely do that kind of stuff.
Very chaotic.
In fact, the only good stuff coming out of Ubi right now is out of Ubi Art.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Child of Light and Valiant Hearts.
Valiant Hearts, yeah. That's fantastic.
Very good game, very indie
free feel.
Yeah, that's another right PlayStation now. Plus game.
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Really good. Yeah, really good. So, okay, now that we've pretty much shit all over the remastered editions of PS3 games.
But a mystery trailer, Bubba.
Yeah, another mystery trailer.
Yeah.
Hit me again. Okay. Samson, how do you feel about wrestling? Guess what? I got another wrestling game. And it is terrible. It is pure garbage. I want all of our listeners to go to YouTube and look up the trailer for Five Star Wrestling. It's called Five Star Wrestling. It is next level bonkers. I hope you enjoy it. We'll discuss it right after this message.
If you are still listening, you either love us or you're passed out in a drunken stupor. No matter which, go to iTunes and rate and review STRcast. The nerds understand it is a complex task, as the iTunes podcast app is more broken than the Ten Commandments. However, if you do rate and review STRcast on iTunes, the nerds would be forever in your debt. Also, please visit strengthengaming.com for video game news, reviews, and exclusives. And be sure to subscribe to STRcast. You wouldn't want to miss any of this.
We're back. I hope everybody enjoyed that five-star wrestling. This is the alternative that's out there to WWE 2K15 as an alternative. What do you guys think?
5 stars out of what?
5 stars out of 100.
Okay. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll accept those numbers.
This game looks like shit. I can't bring myself to download it. It's on the PS3, on PSN. It is a really shitty looking game.
Yeah. Go look at a PS1, PS2 wrestling game. Sure. See how much that would cost now in a store, and see how much difference is between that and $25.
Yeah. Well, why give them your money?
I'd rather play probably that GameCube or Nintendo 64 wrestling games over that.
Yeah. It sucks. I ain't gonna lie. I played. WWE 2K15, and it's a shitty game. So the idea of a market for a game that could somehow challenge WWE, and I'm totally down for that competition, but No, no. Man, this game is rough.
This is the game that your grandma buys you when you ask for WWE.
Right, right.
Like Daggett
costume. Yes, exactly. Mio, do you like what I got you? No, this is shit. Well, this is what you got. Yeah. You know, this is what you get for that.
Yeah, but yeah, that's pretty bad. It's sad. It's like, why? Because like that's the only... the only people that will buy it are people that thought they were buying something else for somebody, and then, you know, you make somebody sad.
So it's like a knockoff type of thing.
Really bad knockoff.
Right. And I mean, who is going to buy that game? Who is the audience for that game? The guys who made it, you know?
The guys who made it, and grandma's getting the wrong game.
Sure.
Sure. Although, most nowadays, they're probably grandma's that game, so...
Jimmy, isn't this the wrestling that you like? You know, it's like, no, Grandma, it's not. It sucks.
Well, we appreciate that. That was good.
Yeah, that was awesomely bad, dude. That was
awesomely horrible. Bad. So, that's pretty much it for this episode. You've heard Nate Bit during the breaks in the intro, and you'll hear him in the outro. You can find his stuff at n8bit.com. That's natebit.com. Visit us at strengthengaming.com. You can find all kinds of things there. We write. Jack does animation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our podcasts are there. Or you can go straight to strcast.com, and you'll find all the podcast posters, extras, and links. Like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/strngaming. So it's just STRN Gaming. And follow us on Twitter at str_cast. And you can follow Sal
at slave0187.
And you can follow Mo.
I think I have I got a Tinder and a Grindr profile. You might be able to find me out there.
Big sweaty Yeti
105. Hung low.
Not good.
And you can follow Bubba, hopefully not on Tinder,
at BASubito on Twitter.
And you can follow me at str_Samson, SAMSON. And Sal, what do we say?
Like with all things in life, keep your pimp pants strong and keep your strength in gaming. Good night, fucking nerds. Who says that all the time? Who says that?
Nerds.
Good night, everybody. Good night, fucking nerds.
I thank you for listening.
Good night, fucking nerds.
Good night, fucking nerds. Seconds.
Don't worry, he's got all sorts of weird incriminating shit. Look at this.
Okay, are we ready?
Oh, this is remastered.
Yeah,
okay, now we're remastered. Supposed to act like it's a big deal.
I'll do that.
You're supposed to act like a big deal. I'm supposed to almost always be here.
We have to
act every other episode.
Yeah, but now it's like every two episodes.
Every two episodes. But then I'm here for two episodes.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always an excitement.
I don't know. I'm confused.